Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for... Wow, it's already November the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we used the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Man, have we got a lot to cover today, too. You know, part of the reason we do the Saturday broadcasts, folks, the reason we are 6 days a week is because there's so much news that crosses our desk that, man, there's just no way to cover it in 5 days, first of all. Secondly, but even more importantly, though, ladies and gentlemen, oftentimes what they do is they use the weekends or holidays or at night or whatever to release news stories that they don't really want you to focus on and see. That's one key component that we really try to keep an eye on. So when it's a holiday, when it's a weekend, we're particularly vigilant in terms of trying to keep an eye on what's going on, what news breaks, what hits the wires, etc. And so that's why we're live on these extended broadcasts, if you will. We were live on Thanksgiving Day. We were live yesterday on what they call Black Friday, or the day after Thanksgiving. We're live today as well because we believe that this is when a lot of the news breaks. We believe this is when stories kind of move across the internet and the wire and the world. And most people just completely, absolutely ignorant they happened. And so we want to do our best to bring them to your attention. And that's why, you know what, we work really hard for you, ladies and gentlemen. And if you believe that the news that networks refuse to use, we bring to the table, has value, then I hope you help fund this media outlet. LibertyRoundtable.com is our award-winning talk show, 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, 12 hours a week we bring you of hard-hitting talk radio commentary, news the networks refuse to use, and more. And we make it all available free via the Roku, live and on demand, via the internet streams, live and on demand, via on all kinds of different players, you know, your Alexa apps, your Google apps, your all these different things. We're available on all of them. And it's not cheap to put up servers and make all these broadcasts available and have all these downloadable audio sites where you can get the shows and where you can get show notes so that you can read through shows and get some time markers about when we talk about certain things. We don't have exact time markers on our broadcast. We just don't have a big enough staff to keep track of all that. But we do have, in general, the order of the notes relate to the order in which the broadcast occurs. And so if there's 10 stories we cover in an hour, or 10 topics, so to speak, you can bet, you know what, if it's near the end, that it's near the end of the broadcast. Or, you know, if it's near the start, it's near the start of the broadcast, or somewhere in the middle. I mean, you get a pretty good idea, generally speaking. You might have to rewind or, you know, move around a little bit to find the start of a given topic, but we do our best. If we had more money, more time, more staff, more people, would love to give you exact time markers for things. Would love to take our broadcast. Many people have called us and said, hey, Sam, can you put them on YouTube? Yes, we can, but the problem is YouTube takes stuff down all the time. The other problem is to do it, you got to convert your audio with a still image, with the titles. We can do it, but it's difficult. It takes a lot of work and time and effort, and we just don't have all that. Do you want us to put it in news gathering and on the radio commentary and grabbing sound bites to play it, or do you want us to put it into, you know, putting the audio up on YouTube? And so, you know, we're just limited in our resources, but we do the best we can. I digress. I just tell you that we put a lot into this broadcast because we believe nobody else is doing it to the degree we are. There's a lot of people that double down that are hardcore conservative or whatever that word means, or hardcore liberal or whatever that word means, or Republican or Democrat or libertarian or, you know, anarchist. Or there's a lot of views out there, but how many people take the constitutional context view as we do? How many people talk about God, family, and country? And how many people talk about the protection of life, liberty, and property like we do. Many people are radical and they're pushing for revolution. We stand back from that and say, wait, we're not for revolution. Wars are bloody. Wars are violent. Wars aren't fun. Wait a minute. The Republicans are for war. The hawkish, you know, conservatives, they're the pro-war group. And then the liberals, the Democrats, the whatever, they're the pro socialist group, or they're the pro handouts welfare group, or, you know, they all work together. It's either welfare or warfare, depending on which party's in power. And then they, you know, double down in this left-right paradigm of, you know, if you're one, then you're not the other. And, okay, we don't believe in any of those things. We reject that whole narrative completely, ladies and gentlemen, as you know on this broadcast. Look, if it's good and right and of God, family, and country, we promote it, protect it, defend it, stand by it, advocate for it, whatever term you want to describe our double down in support of. If it is bad, if it is unconstitutional, if it's against God, family, and country, if it violates the protection of life, liberty, and property, then we're absolutely, unequivocally, clearly against it. All right? And it's very simple to know where we stand on an issue if you really, really think through it. Because you say, how do I know if it's right or wrong? Well, first off, you look at God's laws, right? Secondly, you look at your family. And the protection of and the defense of the God-ordained traditional family with a mother and a father who love one another and have fidelity to one another, who marry, who then bring children into the world. Okay, that's God's ordained way. We support that completely. Hey, you say, Sam, I don't have a family like that. My life's kind of rough. My response is, you know what? Do your best to embrace the principles of a family the best you can. Don't intentionally violate God's laws in creating families that don't stand up to God's commandments. But hey, anytime you can put together a family to the best of your ability, even though it may not be the ideal, but it's the real, and people can protect one another and love one another and support one another, and those are good things, right? We realize that some people never get married. We realize that some people end up in a divorce to no fault of their own. We realize that kids need to be adopted because, hey, others don't keep the commandments of God and children are born out of wedlock. You know, I come from a situation like that. I was adopted. My mother and father were pretty wild folks. They didn't keep the commandments of God. I was put up for an adoption. Thank heaven some wonderful parents adopted me and cared for me, and what a blessing that is. So I'm not telling you that we teach to the ideal family and anything that falls short of that is to be shunned or to look down on. I'm far from. Okay, we just need to do the best we can in a very fallen world. I get it. But I also understand that, you know what? How many talk shows are on the planet like ours? How many are not afraid of discussing subjects that relate to God? But yet they're not so overly religious that they're I don't know what you want to say, so biblical they cater to a Christian audience only. See, we're not those guys. We're a commercial radio network. We believe in the ideal of America, which is a supply and demand free market, free enterprise system. We're for that. But you know what? We're Christian. We don't back away from the Bible in any way. But yet we're not so Christian that we reject Mormons or Catholics or, okay, we're not here to debate Christianity or to double down into the keys to theology and tell you that our views pure and your views not. And, you know, we have the only way, you know, hey, the only way you can get to Christ is by following our opinions or, okay, we're not those people. We are the people that say, you know what, it is about God, family, and country. We're not here to debate about God's law. We just know that it starts with the Ten Commandments and that the Founding Fathers agreed upon. And the fundamental idea is that, you know what, people can be self-governed if they obey God's laws. In other words, if you obey the Ten Commandments and the Great Commandments, then there's not a whole lot you can violate. We don't need to govern everybody's, what's the biblical term, jaunt and tittle? We don't need to focus on every little tidbit that somebody does or doesn't do, or we don't need to micromanage people or continually monitor people. You know, that's what tyrannical governments that are afraid of the people do. What we need to do is stand for that which is right, teach correct principles, let people govern themselves, and there's simple guidelines God gave to help with that. And you respect the family, the God-ordained traditional family. And pretty soon when you look at God's law and then respecting the family and then look at the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, pretty soon you got a handle on, you know what, without a whole lot of paperwork, without the gazillion regulations, you've got a pretty good way to govern God, family, and country. And innately, that will protect life, liberty, and property. I'll give you one example to double down on the point. Honest money is critical. The founding father said we must use gold and silver, nothing but gold and silver, for legal tender in the payments of debts and etc. Okay, that simple system makes sure we're a asset-based economy, not a debt-based economy. And in that ensures the chaining down of bureaucrats and professional do-gooders that want to, at every turn, get gain at the expense of the rest of us, that want to exploit power and upset the checks and balances that our founding fathers put in place. Look, how many wars would we be in if we had honest money, if we were chained down with a constitution to only use gold and silver coinage for the payment of debts? Okay, we wouldn't be in most of these debts. We wouldn't have so many government programs and agencies and unconstitutional ABC whatever, right? We wouldn't have all that because there wouldn't be money to fund it. Honest money is critical. Okay, we need to reject the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. I'm going to say that again. We need to reject the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto and double down in defense of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and biblical principles that relate to God, family, and country and the protection of life, liberty, and property. Anyway, if you believe that our efforts are worthy in this space, whether we're the best talk show hosts, the most articulate or not, mattereth not. If you believe we stand up for what you believe in, fund us. LibertyRoundtable.com and LibertyNewsRadio.com. Back in seconds with yesterday's recap.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
All right, back with you live. I'm Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable, libertyroundtable.com. Donate today if you would, please. Again, we fund our family with day jobs, ladies and gentlemen. We're different than most of the hosts of the media as well. Very unique positioning, our talk show and our radio network. We're not the kinds that would just want you to fund our lives and let us go on vacation while you scrimp and we're rich and you're average Joe. And okay, we're not that way. We're regular people. We have hard working full-time jobs. In fact, I got a couple of jobs that actually fund my family. My wife and I both work, just so you know. We don't live in a rich home. We're grateful for the home we have, and it's certainly adequate, don't get me wrong, but we're not wealthy. And we don't ask you to fund this talk show and or our radio network because we want you to fund our family or our lifestyle. We do it because we want to all participate in the sacred cause of liberty And you know what? We can't fund this with advertisers. There's a couple of advertisers that support us from time to time, and by heavens, we're grateful for them, right? No doubt. We're absolutely grateful. But you know what? Most advertisers drop you like a rock if you don't do or say what they want. Most advertisers want a solid return, and a lot of our listeners, you know, they want to gauge return on how many people buy their products. Hey, if I invest $1,000 in you and it brings me back $5,000 in profits, then I'll invest in you over and over and over. That's the way the big networks work. The problem with that plan is twofold. One, our listeners, a lot of them don't have a lot of money. Okay, they're not bad people. They're not, you know, ne'er-do-wells or anything. But the problem is, the more patriotic you are, the less money you seem to have. The more you want to learn to live off the grid, and the more you don't want to participate in the tyrannical deep state or tyrannical state or surveillance state, whatever terms you want to use, the less money you're going to have, because it's hard to make money and stay off the radar, right? So I'm not downing any of our friends that don't have money. I'm just merely making a point that, you know what, we're not going to get our money from our advertisers because they want to control us. We're not going to get money from the people and just be able to go on the air like National Public Radio or something and say, hey, if you, you know, put in a dollar, we've got a massive matching grant that'll do the same. And we, okay, we can't raise big money like that. A lot of our friends just don't have the money. There's other reasons that they don't have the money. One is they want to stay off the grid. They don't want to be involved in the surveillance state, those kind of things. But the more you stand up for freedom, the likelihood is you end up in trouble with a law, or you end up in trouble with, because there's so many regulations, they could get you in trouble for just about anything, right? A lot of our folks don't believe in supporting the IRS, for instance. I don't blame them. I mean, you know what? The IRS is out of control. It's a tyrannical agency. We've known that for decades, but nothing's done about it, right? They just allow the behemoth to carry out the agenda of the party in power, kind of a thing, right? So a lot of our friends who listen to the radio, and they're people that are entrepreneurs, and many of them say, you know what, I'm doing okay. I'll sneak you a couple of bucks from time to time, but you know what, I don't want to have a tie to you, Sam. You know, I love what you're doing, my friend, but wow, you could get in trouble pretty soon. In the early days, when we got on the radio 25 years ago, people used to call us up all the time when we owned a radio station. And they used to say things like, hey, the radio station's off the air. Did the IRS get you yet? No, we're actually getting our engineer to look into to see why we're off the air and stuff. And so, you know, hey, I get it. A lot of people also who are patriots, who believe in God, family, and country, they're the people that have a lot of children, oftentimes. And so, hey, they have plenty of money. Maybe they work hard and everything, but all their money's tied up in raising their family. I mean, I look at Kurt Crosby, and the guy's got 11 children, and he's primarily self-employed. I say primarily because he works for himself in several different businesses. His wife helps him. It's a family affair. They work hard. But with 11 children, I mean, look, they had to go to a church building for their Thanksgiving dinner. They had 90 people in attendance, okay? Now, you think Kurt's got any money? I'm not downing Kurt. He's my co-host, one of my best friends on the planet. I love the guy dearly. He's a great, great patriot, a great family man, a servant of God, just a wonderful person. But you know what? I don't blame the guy if he doesn't have any money. What do when you spend it on your family, your children, your living, you try to ease the pain for those around you, and he still manages to do plenty of good with his money. But I'm just telling you that a guy like that doesn't have a ton of money just to start writing checks. Anyway, I bring all that up because I want you to understand who we are and what we do. And we're way different than any other talk show. We're way different than any other radio network. Okay? We don't ask the public to fund us so that we can have a nice lifestyle or to pay for our living. We work with our hands. But we do ask you to put in money because to travel, for example, when we went to the Republican National Convention, we were there when Donald Trump got inaugurated. We wanted to cover that live. We wanted to say, okay, we were there when the women were running around with pink hats on. And we were there when Donald Trump took the oath of office. And we were there when, okay, all these things went down. We were there. And it cost a pretty penny to go. We had several people with us. It takes a few people to cover this thing, but we had myself and Kurt Crosby and a buddy of ours came. James Edwards was with us, the politicalcesspool.org radio program. Great friend, hardworking. Okay, he's got a day job too, by the way. Anyway, I bring all that up to say, you know, it probably cost us probably $6,000 just to go. Maybe $7,000. You say, well, what on earth? Why, Sam? Well, you got to get a flight for Sam and Kurt and James. Oh, James drove, I guess. Two guys drove and two guys paid for flights. Anyway, that was probably $1,700 just to get us all four there between the flights and two people driving and all that kind of stuff, the tolls, the gas, the whole bit. Okay, and then you had to pay to be able to get in and get a broadcast facility, right? I mean, this isn't easy stuff. Anyway, you had a hotel or you had a house that we all rented together. And, you know, that cost, I can't remember what it was, but it was like $150 a night or whatever. And, you know, there was four of us, different guys staying there. And, okay, anyway, all I'm telling you is that, and then you got food and you got transportation, you got a, anyway, all I'm telling you, you know, it was expensive for us to go. Really expensive. And so you put all that together, and we're asking people to help fund those kinds of things. You know, when we need a piece of equipment to make our broadcasts sound better or to add a new platform of services or, you know, these are the kind of things that we want you to help fund for us. I pay every single month out of my own pocket to fund this radio network. I'm not asking anybody to do something that I don't do myself. Anyway, you could say this is a big old long radio commercial to beg for money. Some would say that, but I disagree. What we want is the American people to create a newsworthy, independent organization that tells the tale and doesn't have competing, compromising allegiances. Okay, that's what we're creating here. We don't want to have competing, compromising allegiances. Let's say that I get an advertiser that's into Big Pharma. Well, pretty soon I want to talk about everything but Big Pharma, huh? Pretty soon I want to talk, well, and I, when it comes to Big Pharma, I just don't see it like the Patriots do. You see, most broadcasters, and that's the case, they hit hard on one or two or three topics, but well, at the end of the day, there's some cash cow, some whatever they're protecting. Okay, we don't have that. We don't have any agenda except for the truth. We don't have any hang-ups except for news the networks refuse to use and getting the word out. We don't have any compromising allegiances. We don't favor politicians, and we don't hate on politicians. We simply look at what they do and say, is it right or is it wrong? And based on fundamental principles defined in the God, family, idea, God, family, and country idea that we promote, hey, on principle, is it right or is it wrong? So let me give you an example as I break down yesterday's show to make the point. We talked about our listener that dialed in or emailed in, I should say, TZ, who gave us a great idea. You know the Make America Great Again hats, MAGA hats? Well, he says, you know what? For Thanksgiving, we ought to make America grateful again. I agree with that so much so that I tweeted and I hashtagged or whatever you want to say this idea. And then I tagged Donald Trump. And I wish Donald would retweet that. Make America grateful again. Isn't that something that everybody can agree on? At least you would hope. Isn't that something that we could all work together to promote? You would think. See, okay, this is what I mean. We're not into the idea that, well, if it's Donald Trump's idea, we're just going to hate on it. We're never Trumpers or we're always Trumpers. We're not that way. It's a great idea. Listener TZ had a fantastic idea, and we double down in support of it because it's the right thing to do. Everybody should want to make America grateful again, especially around the elongated Thanksgiving holiday, right? So we talked about the article, Share Thanksgiving Heritage, Matt Staver, well-known buddy of ours, Liberty Council, LC.org. We don't agree with Matt on everything, right? But we agree with Matt on most things. And we worked together with that Christian law firm to defend God, family, and country and to protect the life, liberty, and property. We talked about Thanksgiving, Daniel Webster's Plymouth Oration. You ought to go read that. It is out of this world incredible. Thanksgiving, Daniel Webster's Plymouth Oration. A blast from the past, if you will. I'm Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, we're talking about the recap of yesterday's show, available at libertyroundtable.com, on-demand radio, free at your fingertips. So we talked about listener TZ saying, let's change America, or make America great again, to make America grateful again for Thanksgiving. Amen. Shared Thanksgiving Heritage Today, writes Matt Staver, doing a great job. We talked about Thanksgiving, Daniel Webster's Plymouth Oration. Incredible stuff, by the way. Blast from the past, if you will. We also talked about a Thanksgiving prayer written by Joseph Farah, owner of or founder of WorldNet Daily, WND.com. Now, imagine somebody in the media writing an article that it's hard to tell if it's an article or a prayer to God in gratitude for and appreciation of a Thanksgiving and our country and families and it's amazing. So Joseph Farah doing a great job. Again, I know a lot of people are critical of WND.com. It doesn't matter what organization you're talking about. There's friends and foes of every group all the time. That's just the nature of our society. But you know what? I think Joseph Farah does a phenomenal job personally. Is he perfect? I doubt it. I don't know. I mean, I know the guy. I've talked to him plenty of times. I think he's a wonderful gentleman. I think he's a very nice guy. But you know what? He's not perfect. I don't agree with him on everything. I don't agree with Kurt, my co-host, on everything. In fact, my wife doesn't agree with me on everything. We're different people with different hearts and beliefs and perspectives, and we have a right to our own conscience and thoughts, right? Anyway, Thanksgiving prayer, Joseph Farah. You ought to go read that. It's incredible for Thanksgiving. Remembering why we're grateful, Bill Federer, doing a great job with his column. A lot of these columns have similar topics or threads of gratitude and appreciation, and they all relate to God, family, and country. And see, who doubles down and finds these things and talks about them like we do, huh? And then at the end, we talked about the first hour yesterday. Students rip Thanksgiving. They say it's a celebration of genocide. Now, is it really a celebration of genocide, ladies and gentlemen? Or is the truth really that, you know what, America is a great country with a great past and a great future and a great history, and we're grateful for it. But you know what? There were mistakes made along the way. Let's acknowledge that and be candid, right? The way we treated the Indians, wrong. The way we treat the Indians today, wrong. The way we've treated slaves, whether they be black or white, by the way, there was both in ancient America or yesteryear in America, by the way, wrong. Okay, we've got some egg on our face as a nation. We've not done things perfectly. I get it. I agree. But I'm not going to run around and make that the focus. Okay, I'm not going to rip Thanksgiving as a celebration of genocide. Okay, Thanksgiving's a day to remember that, you know what, the Indians and the Americans or the colonists worked together and they didn't starve as a result. And they learned from Governor Bradford about, hey, collectivism, socialism, whatever you want to call it, fascism, none of those principles work. They all lead to the cesspool of communism. It's disaster, tyranny. We reject it, folks. Absolutely reject that notion. But Governor Bradford learned that when the individual was self-empowered and was left to their own devices, they did very, very well indeed. Thus, the American ideal was born. Or I should say rediscovered is how you ought to really say it. Anyway, that was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Who celebrates Thanksgiving like we do? Who does their best to bring all these organizations to the round table for discussion like we do, huh? Second hour, we talked about a Thanksgiving lesson for Miss Ocasio-Cortez. Jack Cosville writes the piece. You know, she has a lot to learn about America. And I disagree with her completely on her agenda. But I don't want any harm to come to Cortez either. Right? We don't need to be violent and hate-filled and unkind. She thinks the way she does, and we think the way we do. Hopefully we can throw our ideas in the court of public opinion and y'all can decide what you want to back and support and believe in, huh? Donald Trump invites the press for Thanksgiving dinner at Mar-a-Lago. I didn't get the invite, Donald. I don't know what's up with that, but it's interesting. Donald every other day tells you how they're an enemy of the people. And then on Thanksgiving, when you ain't looking, he's doubling down, feeding them dinner. Now, Kurt Crosby and I have a different opinion on this. It was a secret meeting. It was off the record. And that concerns me greatly. I don't trust him. Now, Kurt would say, listen, when they follow him around as the press corps, he was just doing something nice for them. And it's okay to be off the record and let your hair down, so to speak, or, you know, just relax and not feeling like everything you say or do is going to be scrutinized and reported on and chopped and sliced and diced by opinion. And that's appropriate, Kurt says. And you know what? Kurt's right about that. He's absolutely spot on correct. That's in times of normalcy. But when the Republican Party and the Democratic Party literally are at war, see, we ought to reject partisan politics. Kurt's right on that, too. But when they're literally at war and we can't trust one another and we've created this era of divisiveness to the point where you can't trust what they're doing, and when they commit vote fraud and when they literally say one thing and then behind the scenes do another thing and it's gone to the point where you can't trust them, then it's a little bit different of an environment. But I agree, we should be able to stop the politics. It reminds me of going to war and you hear these wonderful stories about, you know what, on Christmas Eve, both sides laid down their weapons and sang Christmas carols together or whatever. We do need set aside from divisions. And I think, you know, it should be that we could sit down as the press and not fight one another. The problem is most of the press won't let that happen. We talked about the great news that the United States abortion rate has dropped to a record low since Roe versus Wade. And believe it or not, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention reports it. So you got to believe it then, don't you? Just kidding. All I'm telling you, though, is, hey, that's good news, right? And it's time to press for pro-life. President Trump has been the, in my opinion, greatest advocate of pro-life in a serious leadership position, I would submit, in my lifetime. I don't even think Reagan was as pro-life, right? But I'm delighted that the U.S. abortion rate drops to low. Now, don't email me and say that's because everybody's using birth control and, you know, whatever. I understand, and there's a lot of reasons for it that don't relate to just the lack of murdering babies. But I'm saying it's a good thing. We want less murder, less abortion. And we need to now double down and push for the Supreme Court and the Republicans in the narrow window they have to reject Planned Parenthood big time. The White House authorizes force at the U.S. border. We talked about that. But I don't know what it means, because Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said American troops stationed at the southwest border will not be armed with guns. The memo was signed by John F. Kelly, the White House chief of staff, not by President Trump himself, writes the New York Times. So I don't know what that means. The White House authorizes use of force at the border, but the guns won't be there. The Pentagon then disarms border troops and pulls them away from the border. So I'm not sure I understand what all that means. Does that mean that we have troops at the border, or do they get pulled away by the Pentagon? Does it mean that Donald Trump armed them and gave them lethal force direction to say, hey, you know what, we're going to take this? Or have they been disarmed and led away by John Kelly and the Pentagon or Defense Secretary Jim Mattis? Or what's going on here? And I don't even know the truth at the border. I just know this. Tijuana. The mayor there or whatever is basically saying our city's being overrun and now has a plea to the United Nations for help, help, help. We can't handle this onslaught. They now say we have a national disaster on our hands in Mexico because they say what's happening is these poor children that are with the caravan are now in danger. These minors are in danger to the criminal activity happening within these caravans. And so I agree you got a crisis on your hands. But again, it's because Donald didn't pay attention to my advice. When these caravans were coming through nation after nation, through the corridor, protected corridor of Mexico, why didn't we drop troops in Mexico with the permission of the Mexican government and thin out these caravans? Literally arrest criminals. Literally protect families and divide and divide and divide this caravan to where it wasn't massive. Now they say 6,000 plus, eventually 10,000. Who knows how many migrants will be on the border of Tijuana and San Diego. And the more we ignore this issue and don't take decisive action, the worse it's going to get. And we've allowed this problem to occur. Why didn't Mexico think about, hey, they're all going to end up either on their side of the border stuck or our side of the border? But either way, it's not good. But we allowed it to happen because politicians are paralyzed. They're so partisan in nature, they can't get anything done. What a shame. Pentagon disarms border troops. Judge says Donald has no authority to not grant asylum. What's going on around here? Donald attacks the judges. The judges attack the Donald. Meanwhile, Rush Limbaugh won't run out running for president. Joe Kovacs writes the piece for WND. Do you think that Donald is going to run? I'm sorry, do you think Rush Limbaugh is going to run for office? I doubt it. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
So, you love talk radio. Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names, and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. I'm Sam Bushman, breaking it down just for you. We're talking about Rush Limbaugh. And Rush Limbaugh will not rule out running for president of the United States of America. Joe Kovacs writes the piece for WND.com. Do you think that Rush will run for president? Huh? Do you think Rush will run for president? See, I doubt it. I don't think he's ready to take the hit with people discussing his personal life. But I also don't think that he's presidential material. And you say, Sam, why do you say that? Well, I like a lot of what Rush Limbaugh says, and I believe that Rush Limbaugh was a whole lot more conservative and a whole lot more constitutional, right? Some say Rush for president, maybe Trump made it possible. In other words, Trump's changed the narrative to where guys like that could run. I think Rush was a lot more constitutional and more appropriate in his younger years. I think now he's controlled by big advertisers, and he's the water boy of the Republican Party, self-admitted, by the way. Okay, so, you know, I don't think it would be even a great thing if Rush did run for office, for president, or whatever else. But the other problem that I got an issue with Rush Limbaugh is this. Rush Limbaugh has a solution to social media monopolies. So you understand the social media monopoly discussion, right? You say, well, what is that? Well, the social media monopoly discussion relates to Facebook and Twitter and Google. And, man, there's a lot to that, right? Anyway, there's a lot about that to where, you know, we believe that these new social media companies have a monopoly. They control everybody and everything. They have the ability to control searches on the internet. They have the ability to spy on you. They have the ability to blacklist results to where, hey, Liberty Roundtable Live won't come up, even if our show's legitimate and peaceful. They call the shots and say, hey, we're not going to let people see or find on the internet Sam Bushman stuff or whatever, or Liberty Roundtable or Liberty News Radio, or, you know, we're shutting down Alex Jones. He's full of hate speech. And okay, they say all these things. They've even shut down Dennis Prager, the Christian broadcaster, who, in my opinion, has done a wonderful job. They've taken down his videos on TV. And our buddy, Dennis Prager, basically says, look, I'm not going to back down. I'm going to sue YouTube over this. The battle rages on. There's even a movie about this called The Creepy Line. Matthew Taylor is the producer with Wandering Footprint Productions. The film is called The Creepy Line, thecreepyline.com if you want to check it out. Anyway, we're going to have those guys on the radio here soon, we hope. Matthew also directed the movie Clinton Cash that came out in 2016 about the Clinton Foundation. So Google crosses the creepy line every day. Anyway, I bring all this up to say that Rush Limbaugh says he has an answer to this. What he wants to do is he wants to basically take it down, this monopoly. Like they broke up AT&T, he wants government to say, wait a minute, you cannot have a monopoly here. And he wants the government to go in and break this these companies up. And what Rush doesn't understand is this. Monopolies come and go. And monopolies are only created when you have a special environment where monopolies can be created. And that's where you have regulations and grandfathering in and protection to these different companies to let them be so gargantuan. Right? In other words, Facebook and Google and all these companies have massive government funding, folks, and special privilege protection. You don't believe me? Well, let's just dovetail into Amazon for a second. Amazon literally said, we're going to search for a second headquarters. HQ2 is what they called it, right? And they searched and talked and cajoled and negotiated, and city after city after city, state after state after state was just begging the behemoth Amazon to come to their area. And so they all put government special privilege tax incentives on the table for Amazon. And then what Amazon did is manipulate and cajole and argue and discuss and advocate and whatever, to the point where it was all behind the scenes and no one knew what was going on. And everybody was sitting there waiting with bated breath, going, oh, man, are they going to pick us? And it's going to be incredible. And we're going to get a gazillion jobs. And it's going to be phenomenal. And then what Amazon did is they literally, I'm telling you, they beat Donald Trump at the art of the deal. I'll tell you that right now. Jeff Bezos got her done. They literally dovetailed and backed into two places on the East Coast, right? New York and New Jersey or whatever. And they literally said, hey, we're going to take advantage of all the taxes, all the special privilege, all the handouts you're going to give us. And they literally created it, what, HQ? What do you call it? I don't know if it's 2 and 3, but it's really like two versions of HQ2, two different locations. Now they're going to have 3 locations. But what they're doing is they're reneging on a lot of the jobs that people thought they were going to get. They're backing into all the tax incentives promised. They literally took places that were designated for government housing, and through kind of an eminent domain change, they put Amazon there, and you could say, well, you don't believe in government housing anyway, do you, Sam? No, of course not. But my point is, government meddled so much and provides so many privileges on the land. They control land. So you had government-controlled housing being planned, and then that got circumvented by a bigger bidder, so to speak. And government's at the heart of all this, right? Well, anyway, so you take Google and Facebook and Amazon and all these different massive gargantuan international companies, and you literally have so many regulations that it rigs the deck in favor of these companies. So Amazon got a massive windfall from the taxpayers. And, that's just one example. That's Amazon in the, quote, purchase space. But listen, Amazon's huge. I mean, they say that 50% of online sales, this, quote, Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all that, 50%+ will go to Amazon, and it's, quote, I don't know what you call it, network or infrastructure or whatever, ecosystem alone. Wow. Pretty soon you're going to only have 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 big, massive players in the shopping space. I know that sounds absurd, but that's where we're headed. You say that could never happen, and my response is you used to have independent media all over the country. Now you're down to a couple of big media conglomerates, right? I mean, there's all kinds of research to say, hey, all the media is diced up, not counting the tiny guys like Sam Bushman and a few others. All the media is between like 6 massive mega firms, right? Massive. Is that a monopoly? Well, it all depends on how you define monopoly, right? But anyway, I digress, except to say that you got Facebook and Google that primarily control the internet. Facebook, Google, Amazon, you've already got it down to a few. And it's only going to get worse, right? Facebook's on its way out and somebody else is going to fill the void. Who will it be? Well, you got Facebook and Instagram. What's the next media giant that'll be the new startup, that'll be the new guy, new kid on the block? And he'll start an incredible new media company, and the story will go that he did it in his dorm room or his garage or some humble beginnings to just make you just love and believe in America. And then you find out their rise to fame and stardom and power and literal control in this fascist state we've created primarily happened via government. Look, Google and Facebook have received plenty of government money, plenty of government special protection and permissions and things, just like Amazon. And I just highlighted the Amazon example because it's blatant. People are howling about it left and right. But that's the way AT&T became such a monopoly, too. So what I'm getting at is the governments create, Rush Limbaugh, the governments create these very monopolies that you're suggesting we ought to go to government to solve. You don't need to go to government to solve them. What you need to do is stop government from getting involved in the first place. If we didn't have dishonest money, I submit to you these companies wouldn't be able to get a foothold like they've got. If you didn't have government regulation and special privilege and grandfathering and protection and tax incentives and all these things. In other words, if you didn't let government pull the lever in the favor of the few at the expense of the many over and over and over, you wouldn't have this problem. But the Hegelian dialectic calls for, hey, you get these two opposite sides of something, friend or foe, good or bad, right or wrong, left or right, whatever polarization you can gain. And then what you do is you set it up to where only government can solve the problem. Nobody can fix it but government. No, you know, and that's the lie. Because what we do is we go to the next government catastrophe and the next government catastrophe and it goes on and on and on. And ignorantly, Rush Limbaugh believes that all we got to do is have the government break up the monopoly. Well, man, it worked really well for the telco companies, Sam. It was phenomenal. You know, you used to have just expensive as all get out long distance. And man, now long distance is primarily free. And man, that breakup was incredible. Look what the government did. And my response is, it isn't true, folks. It's a lie. You say, well, isn't it better than it was before? Yes, to some degree. But government created the monopoly that they also broke up. And is it perfect now? No, it's far from. Let me give you an example. I have internet business, Comcast. Comcast business internet. And it comes with a bundle of phone services, which I have 4 phone lines for the radio network, and I've got a great internet connection. Okay, that's good. I got 2 out of the 3, but I can't have the free TV that comes with it. You want to know why? Because there's a regulation put by the Federal Communications Commission or whatever in place, or these whatever commissions and state commissions or whatever, you can't have TV at a home-based business because it competes with, quote, home-based TV. So even though my internet connection and my phone line provides me a triple play or provides me free TV, I can't have it because it's regulated out of existence for a home-based business to receive, quote, business internet TV or business Comcast TV. There's regulations against that. So whenever I talk to the business executives, they say, oh, you got a home base, but we're sorry about that. We can't let you have this. It's against the regulations. It's against the law. And I say to you, the government's involved in so many aspects of our lives, ladies and gentlemen, it is beyond imagination. I mean, it really is. It is crazy town. And so I appreciate Rush Limbaugh trying to solve the monopoly problem, and he's got this great idea to have government fix it for you. But in my humble opinion, it just shows you how ignorant Rush Limbaugh really is when it comes to the constitutionality of things. We don't need government to break up monopolies. What we do need is government to not engineer monopolies in the first place. What we need is government not to allow itself to have the lever pulled in the favor of the few at the expense of the many. What we need to do is reject the Communist Manifesto, which would reject fascism, socialism, communism, governmentism, controlism, tyrannicalism, whatever isms you want to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. It all comes down to government wielding its power unfairly. And so what we need to do is get government out of it and go back to honest money. And it's the only way that you'll solve the problem, or else you'll just have another monopoly come up in a different sector next week. See what I mean, Rush? I appreciate your idea, but I would never vote for you for president, sir, for the very reason that you don't even understand. You probably think we have a democracy, don't you? All right, that ends hour one. Hour two coming up. Speaking of democracy, we'll break that down and talk about it. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman. LibertyRoundtable.com is our talk show website. LibertyRoundtable.com. LibertyNewsRadio.com is the network that distributes us. Please fund them both, would you? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.